Welcome to Behind the Scenes at Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses, where tiny horses bring comfort, hope, and healing to children, veterans, first responders, and communities in need. For almost 30 years, this award-winning nonprofit charity has shared the healing power of miniature therapy horses inside children's and veterans' hospitals, hospice programs, assisted living programs, schools, and beyond. Now they are sharing their stories every week on the Equus Radio Network.
Hello and welcome back to episode number 5 of Behind the Scenes with Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses. My name is George Garcia Bengochea and I'll be your host alongside Debbie Garcia Bengochea.
Hello everyone.
It's good to have you back and I hope you've been enjoying our podcast. Today I thought we would talk about something that has been requested, a little more serious. People have wanted to know what is it like to be behind the scenes in some of these intense situations that you may have been to. And I think probably the most prominent one that we can recall, I mean, there have been some very serious situations, but I think one of the first and one of the prominent ones was the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. What do you think, Debbie?
You can't really compare, you know, tragedies in different communities because for each one, it's totally different and what that community is going through mm-hmm. is totally different. But I think many people remember where they were when they heard about the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School. It was December 14th, 2012, and there were 26 people lost that day at the school, 20 children between the ages of 6 and 7 years old, and six brave, amazing staff members of the school were also lost that day. So I remember hearing about it and you just couldn't believe it, that something like that could happen.
Yeah, it really shook this community. And it, you know, Sandy Hook is a small community. I think it's about 9,000 people, and just outside, it's in Connecticut, just outside of New York, and just really an idealistic small town. Everyone knew each other, and so yeah, it was devastating. But we saw some amazing things, and we would like to share some of those. And like Debbie had mentioned, most of us who are old enough to remember can remember where we were. Debbie and I happened to be in Seattle, Washington, celebrating our anniversary when we got the news, and we had seen some things come up on the television, and all of a sudden we started receiving some text messages and some phone calls. Maybe you can talk about that.
Well, like you said, we were in Seattle on a long-planned vacation. And we don't really travel that much without the horses. So a vacation.
But it was our anniversary.
It was our anniversary. And we actually got a call from Sandy Hook that day, the day of the tragedy, asking if we would be willing to bring the therapy horses to the school, to Sandy Hook, to the community, to Newtown. And, you know, we only go to situations like this in a community if they contact us and there's a plan. And so, you know, we were contacted right away and had to figure out, there's a lot of planning that goes into making a trip like that happen. So we talked with each other and decided we would cancel our vacation and get on a flight the next day to get back to Florida so we could start working on getting the horses mm-hmm. up to Sandy Hook. But, you know, as sad and amazingly sad as all of this is, every time we've done things like this, we've seen such incredible acts of kindness in the community from people. And I remember we were going to go out to dinner that night. It was going to be the only night.
Yeah, well, it was December 14th, which happens to be our anniversary, our wedding anniversary.
Yeah. And so we had already planned to go to dinner and then we were going to fly out the next day. So while we were waiting to be seated, we were sitting there and on these benches, and we were talking about how we were going to do it, talking about transportation for humans and horses and you know, the volunteers and where the horses would stay. And I mean, there's so many different things. So we were just very involved in the conversation with each other. And then we were seated at the restaurant and, you know, we had our dinner. And when the server came out with what we thought was a bill, there was just a note from someone who had overheard our conversation and paid for our dinner.
Wow. That was amazing.
Yeah. And wished us safe travels. That was amazing.
And I think it also provided us some encouragement. We were looking at a very intense travel plan and trip and getting horses up to Connecticut once we got home. So we were starting to make some phone calls and starting to do some things, or at least in our minds, trying to plan this trip. So to receive that support and encouragement was very helpful. I think it was knowing that people were behind what we're doing. And the community of Sandy Hook and Newtown did reach out to us, and they rallied and they said, we really want you here. And if there's any way you can do this, we will support you in any way we can. So that's how things started to come together. So what we needed to do was to get back to the East Coast and start organizing
our logistics of our trip.
Yeah. So.
And the people in Newtown, I mean, they were helping us get ideas of where the horses could stay, because the horses are in Florida. It's the middle of the winter with snow up in Connecticut, and how we could safely do that. And the horses, we worked out, there was someone that had a heated horse ambulance so that the horses could travel, you know, there from place to place with a heated ambulance. And you know, of course, when they work inside, so the buildings and things like that were heated, but we needed a place for them to exercise and be able to run. And so they helped set up an indoor riding arena that the horses mm-hmm. could exercise, which happened to be where one of the young students took riding lessons mm-hmm. and where she was lost. So they all knew her. So there were so many details like that. And when we got back, I think the other thing I just remember is, because it was a big news story, there were a lot of television stations that came down to where we were, and they wanted to do stories and they wanted to, you know, talk about where we were going and what we were going to do. And I remember, do you remember the night where we were getting ready to leave? The horses were actually leaving that next morning, and we were watching television, and there was a news crew at the barn, and we didn't even know they were there. Mm-hmm. And we turned on the television, and they're like, the horses are sleeping inside and they're going to be leaving in the morning. And we're like, there's a news crew at the barn doing a story. So they kind of came in from all over, and some of the stories, you know, were accurate. Some, you know, they talked to us and interviewed us, and others were just completely made up. I mean, we were on our way up to Newtown, and there were news reports of what was going on with the horses, and we had not even arrived yet.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, and the folks there in Newtown and Sandy Hook, they started to pull some resources together, and they made arrangements for us to transport the horses, and the volunteers would fly commercial air, and then we rented a vehicle once we got up there. But this is really made available through resources in the community. And then there was that time, you know, we had to work out all the logistics of the horse transport to make sure that they were safe. It was a good transport company that had a good reputation. And then we were able to get on a plane. But when we landed, we were in New York, and we were talking to the rental car agency about getting a van. I think we ended up getting a small van or something.
And we were trying to get a discount.
Yes. Yeah, we, you know, obviously we had some resources, but, you know, they were limited. We wanted to make good use of the funds that we we had. So, we were talking to the clerk, and we talked about why we were there and asked if there was any way we could receive a discount because of this special trip that we were making to serve the folks there in the area. They were a little dubious, I guess, and that's the thing. When something like this happens, people come up with stories. And we talked about why we were there, what we were doing, and that we had a team of horses, that we were Gentle Carousel, miniature therapy horses. We had been requested to come, and we were hoping we could do that. So what happened? The woman, she turned and looked at the screen behind her.
At the TV, airport.
Yeah, at the TV screen. And it had made the news up there that we were coming into town and that we were making this special trip all the way from Florida. So I guess we got validation on...
She did. She changed her mind. She goes, "That's you guys. That's you guys on the television." And so we did get a discount for the van that we would be using, taking the volunteers mm-hmm. around. But which was really, it was nice of them to do that too, and to be able to, help us out, because it was a very last minute trip. There were a lot of different things that we were trying to put together and financially put together to be able to help out. And then while we were there, because I think people asked, "So what do you do? Like, once you're there with the horses, how does that work? And we only went to places there. We would be contacted by the community to tell us where to be, when to be. There was so much media there that a lot of things they were trying to do confidentially. Mm-hmm. Although the horse trailer in town, because it is a small town, people started knowing where we were parking, where the horse ambulance was parking. Sometimes it was privately, like at this farm, that we kept the horses in the horse ambulance at night to make sure that they stayed warm because it was heated. And then we were also meeting, we would park behind the Newtown Police Department. So we were parked behind the police department because they had asked for a therapy horse to come in and meet with the officers in the interrogation room, which was the private room there. And I think the thing that we kept seeing was how kind everyone was and thankful and gracious for us being there. So while we were behind the police department getting ready to come in, this old pickup truck pulled up with this elderly gentleman. And he'd been searching around for us that morning, and it was cold out. That was a really cold day. I remember that. And he'd been looking at the different places that we had been spotted, and he found us back there, and he had hot chocolate. And he was driving around so that he could give us hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those memories where you were like, it was a small thing and a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole message of this whole trip being up there, is that we can all do things, even if it's hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I always hope somebody's going to hear that we were really, really appreciative of him doing that. And there are a lot of different memories of being at Sandy Hook, and a lot of them are very sad, but there were some things that people did that you just go, "Wow, that was so nice." Yeah. So then we went into the police department, and that was actually you mm-hmm. and Officer Magic in the interrogation room.
Yeah, we were asked to come inside, and so we brought Magic in, and we were asked to come into the interrogation room just because it would be a little more private, and we met with folks and officers one-to-one, so they could meet the horse. And really, eventually, what started happening is they were talking about that day and what they were doing, where they were, what their responsibilities were. These were pretty heavy conversations, and we thought that privacy was important. And I think when you bring a horse into a situation like that, a sweet little horse like Magic, you'll find that people start talking to the horse, and they're talking to you as well. But I think it gives them permission to tell their story, what they were experiencing that day, and even what they are experiencing right now. And then they start laughing. I think it's just funny to have a little horse there, hearing your stories, who's very attentive. And that's the thing about horses, is they are unconditional. They love unconditionally. They're very patient. They're very engaged. And certainly that's the way Magic was that day. So we had had a few sessions like that, and the office manager, she came in and she said, you know, there's someone that we're trying to get into the station, and that's our canine officer, who happens to be an equestrian. And we're telling her, you can't miss this. You have to come in. You have to be here. You're going to love this. And so they sent out a radio signal to her dispatch, and I think she turned on the sirens and got back into the office as quickly as she could. But she was amazed to see this little horse in the office and having this time together. So we started talking, and she talked about her responsibilities in the community and her work with canine officers, and also her enjoyment of horses on a personal level, that she had horses of her own. So we had this time together, and she had bent down and spent some time with Magic, and then she looked at me and she said, is it okay to give a hug? And I thought she was talking about, you know, hugging the horse and whether it was all right to hug Magic. And I said, of course, you can certainly do that. And she stood up and she gave me a hug. And I was very surprised. And I think it showed me exactly what it meant to her and really the entire team there, that we would take the time to come in and actually come up from Florida to support what they have been through. And what we saw really throughout that day, being in the office, is that everyone was smiling, and everyone was sometimes laughing. And I think, again, it you bring a horse into a situation like that, and it gives permission for people to release and talk about how they're feeling, talk about what they've been through, and maybe share some stories that are a little more lighthearted, because they certainly needed to have that burden lifted from them. And so I think one of the practical jokes they were wanting to do is they wanted Magic to go into the captain's office and take some pictures.
The police chief.
And while he was out of the office, and then show him later, yeah, Magic was in your office making yourself at home. And they just thought that was hilarious.
And the office manager said actually that was the first time she'd seen them smile.
Yeah. Yeah, it had been a very intense time. And they were doing very serious work. And they were supposed to be the ones out and about supporting the community. And they in turn needed some support. And they needed encouragement themselves to keep them going, you know, to keep them being able to do their job. So that was really a special time in working with police officers. We've always enjoyed working with first responders, police officers in particular. And now Magic is a sworn officer with the Ocala Police Department. And she has worked with a lot of officers and first responders over the years. But that was certainly a meaningful time.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other places that we went to that I remember, because we were there for 2 weeks the first time. We went back in April after that. But one of the places we went to was the preschool. It was a preschool in Sandy Hook.
They're right next to each other.
Right across the street. And there was a teacher there who had lost 19 of her students from the past year, the year before. And the children had to stay inside, because there was so much news media and cameras and everything that every time they tried to let them go outside on the playground, they had to bring them back in because they were being filmed. So they were kind of indoors. And the great thing about the therapy horses is they can come indoors. Mm-hmm. And we just spent time with the children. We had a book that we read to them. I know we talked about our reading programs a couple of weeks ago, and how we've had different publishers and authors write about the horses. And so we had a book with us, we did a story with the children, and they were, you know, petting the horse and loving the horse. And, you know, we had three horses, you know, traveling with us. And that happened to be magic that was there. And when we were getting ready to leave, they all started singing. What was the song?
Well, a lot of times what we'll do, especially when we're with children, is we have some fun background music going on. And, you know, we bring a little music box and just to liven the mood and for kids to have fun and their playful tunes and things like that. And this particular song happened to be Why Don't You Build Me Up, Buttercup? And for some reason, especially the staff, they all started singing, and even the kids were dancing. And like we had talked about before, I think what happened here at Sandy Hook and even in Newtown, they were in a fishbowl. The whole world and the whole nation was looking at them and what happened to them. How are they dealing with this? And the media just came down on that small town, and they were trying to capture stories, and they were trying to interview people, and it became pretty intense. And so the response of the community was to stay inside, stay indoors. You know, they wanted to be out of the spotlight. They needed time to process all of this and what was going on, and they were feeling very, you know, it was very raw. It just happened. And so, like Debbie was saying, we would go into these different locations and come inside, and these were private visits. We didn't want the press to come in here. There certainly wasn't a time for interviews. It was a time for them to have their own healing and their own just special time with the horse. So yeah, having the music there and seeing them singing and dancing, we started to see a pattern of this kindness and even though people are going through things, they can still smile and they can appreciate each other.
And they said that was the first time the children had sang. They would sing all day long, and they didn't sing until after magic was there and we were getting ready to leave. They said, well, this is the first time. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Build Me Up, Buttercup, an unusual song choice.
Who knew?
And then, you know, we would get called to different locations because, again, you know, we depended on our contacts, our main contacts in the community, to tell us where to go and what to do. And they asked if we would go to the Newtown Public Library. And they said, what if, you know, what they would do apparently is send out email messages.
Your community communication, you know, yeah, with each other.
To the different families and things. And so they sent a message out, but they said, well, would it be okay? What if only one child comes to the library, would that be okay? And we said, you know, absolutely, that's perfectly okay. And when we got there, there were 600 people that came. And it was the first time that the families had seen each other since the tragedy. And we had to divide it up into two different hour-long groups to be able to see everyone. And, you know, again, did stories, and they got to meet a horse from the story, and they got to talk with each other and see each other. And we're often in a situation where you go in and do that, and you don't really get to hear what people thought after. But this particular situation, and, you know, we were parked around in the back. I remember that there was one national news organization that was there, and they said, we want to come in and film this because they're seeing all these people arrive at the library.
Yeah, they asked us,
yeah,
if it
can
was
we
okay
do it? Yeah, we're like,
well, we said, it's, you know, this is their event, and you need to talk to the folks here, the community there. So I think it was unanimous. They pretty much said, no way.
Yeah. And I remember they told us, aren't you a charity? You're blowing it. Yeah. By not letting us, you know, letting us be around you. But again, when we go into a location, it's private. Mm-hmm. We're very, very careful with what we do. And I think that's why people trust. But we went back to the hotel, and the next morning, you know, there was a picture of the horses in USA Today newspaper. And it was a photo that had been taken at, you know, when we were just going by a memorial service with the three horses. And they had quotes from people at the library. And this was not the news station that was upset, by the way. But that said that they felt like this was the beginning of their healing. And you can't hear anything better than that mm-hmm. from someone. I mean, we had met with parents who had lost children. But to hear, you know, even if there was one family that felt a little bit better. But it was, 600 people. It was much more than they thought they were going to be they were going to be dealing with. And that really was just for the families of the school that were supposed to be there. It wasn't an open-ended invitation.
Yeah. And then a day later, we were asked to come to the youth center of the community, which was a very large, it was a beautiful building, very large gymnasium, had meeting rooms, classrooms, and kind of a big lobby area. And we thought, wow, good grief, we met with 600 people. How many more people do you think might come? So we got there, and certainly we were delighted to do that. And then people started arriving. And I think this was just a whole new group of people who had received communication from the community that we were there, we were available, and where we would be. And I'd say another 600 people arrived and wanted to spend time with the horses. So they were very patient, and they were talking amongst themselves. They were catching up and asking each other how they were doing. But they were patiently waiting in line to meet the horse. And again, I think it gave folks an opportunity to come up, meet the horse, talk to us a little bit. And there was enough space where they could talk privately. And really what we did is just listen. I think that was the main thing. You know, you have a little horse like that, it listens. Our volunteers and when we serve in the community, we just want to be a listening ear and supportive in that way. So we met some incredible people who had been through some very tragic situation, but even sharing their own personal perspective of what happened to them that day, and people they knew who had been affected. And one of the folks that we saw there, again, it was 600 people. It took a few hours, and we'd take breaks, and we'd come back in, and there was this one gentleman. He was standing in the side of the room, kind of off in the background, just watching. And we'd asked him a couple times, "Would you like to come in and we'll spend some time together with the horse?" And he goes, no, I'm fine. This is for everybody else." And then finally, when the line wound down and people were finishing up the visit there, he stepped forward and he said, "This has been amazing." And then he started talking, and it turns out that he was a first responder, and talked about that day and hearing the sirens and just not, you know, such confusion, not knowing what was going on, and then arriving on the scene. And he obviously had a lot of feelings and a lot of emotion that he had not been willing and able to share about until now. And so I think seeing other people being vulnerable and just talking and feeling it was okay, it was safe to share his story. But he would tell us what was going on, and even talked about how it was difficult to hear sirens again, you know, because it brought back such memories.
Well, and I think when we went back in April, so many of the first responders were never able to go back to work after that situation. So I think there was so much that happened there. I mean, so many stories, so many acts of kindness. People were unbelievably kind to us. And I just remember when they first contacted General Carousel to come, they said that they wanted their children to go back to school talking about minis and not monsters. So we felt like, if we could, you know, take part in that was just a really important thing to be able to do. And there have been so many different places that we have gone, and, you know, we can talk to it at another time. And I was just thinking about Magic. There were different horses that have traveled with her, but the impact that she had in the police department there she was at the Pulse after the nightclub.
And we also went to the Yale New Haven Children's Hospital, and we try to do that as well when we're taking these visits. We try to make the most use of our time.
There are some
priorities when we take these visits. Obviously, we want to make sure the horses are safe. They have a great location. When we were in Newtown and in Sandy Hook, we were provided a nice little riding stable. As Debbie mentioned, some young girls were learning how to ride horses for the very first time, and that's what, you know, one of the students that had lost their life in this incident. She was a brand new student at this school, and they were very hospitable. They had a very nice indoor riding arena. When the horses slept at night, they were in the heated ambulance, and I actually got to sleep in the ambulance myself. I had a little cot that we put in there because there was a heater. We wanted to make sure that there wasn't any problem, that the heat didn't cut off or, you know, got knocked over or anything like that. So a priority is keeping the horses safe, but we want to do as much as we can when we take these trips. So we went to the Yale New Haven Children's Hospital and visited with children there. I remember one particular visit. There was a child, a young girl, and she must have been 8 or 9, maybe younger. And she had just come out of surgery, and she knew a horse was down the hall. And so she was talking to her mom, and she said, "Is there any way this horse can come inside my room?" And so we came, and these were tight quarters. It was pretty cramped, and I said, "This might be difficult. I'm not sure," but they moved some things around, and she was very eager to meet the horse, and so we made arrangements. And she came in, the horse came in, and visited with her. She actually leaned forward up out of her bed and scratched the horse on the head, and just they had a special time. I think we have a couple photographs of that. But it meant a lot. It meant a lot to the staff of the hospital, to the families and children who are going through a difficult time in just a different manner.
That was our day off. They said, "You guys have a day off." So we scheduled that on the day off.
Yeah.
So, we try to do that and then do a Ronald McDonald House or something like that as well whenever we travel. What I was saying before, but I had totally forgotten about the Yale New Haven visit, was that magic is, you know, all of the different locations that we have gone to through the years, there have always been just amazing acts of kindness and people really helping us and being there for us. And whether it was, you know, the Pulse nightclub, the tragedy there, we'll talk about that sometime, or the condo collapse in, you know, Parkside, or in Charleston after the tragedy at the AME church there. There's so many different memories and locations, and some of them are man-made, and some, like Moore, Oklahoma, the tornadoes out in Moore, Oklahoma, where the children were trapped in the schools there, are, you know, natural. Hurricanes, all these different kinds of places, but in each case, what we've seen is people helping each other.
Yeah.
And people, you know.
Yeah, and we did, it was very, once we got back home, as Debbie said, it was a 2-week trip. There was a lot of emotional energy spent, and we were glad we could do it, and we were glad to be back home. And then we did receive lots of cards and letters, and we did receive a letter from the governor of Connecticut, and he gave us a letter of commendation of what we were able to provide for the community there and how much it meant to them, and that he was very pleased as the governor of the state of Connecticut that we could come up and serve the community in that way. So it's gratifying to see the response of people, and that you can make a difference with your act of kindness.
And I think to remember, you know, obviously when we were there the first time, there was a lot of media everywhere and things going on. But the news stories change and move on to something else. But those families are left with, you know, what happened to them, and that community is left. And I think that's the reason we went back again in April. But also just to remember that those children would be like 21 years old now. They would be in college. And so for those families, they live with that every single day, and people move on, but their lives have been, you know, changed forever. And, you know, and we realize that too, just working with children in hospice care and things, that even if the whole world doesn't know about you, you want the same things. Your child wants the, you know, the same things. Every little girl wants a pony. Even, you know, even if you're terminally ill, you want the same things. But to that family, that's Sandy Hook to you. That's your story, you know, and how your life has been impacted. So I just appreciate that the horses are able to hopefully make a small difference in the lives of people in situations like this. And I think all of the horses have their stories. We mentioned a few with Magic, but they all did. Wakanda was there. Wakanda, she was a great therapy horse, and she's also the mom of two of our therapy horses, which is Apollo and Scout. So they come from a line of horses that have helped people. And I don't know, I think, but for us, that's just our perspective of what we saw, and everyone that was there has a story of what they saw.
Well, this has been good. We've talked a lot about our trip up to Newtown. What else should we talk about before we close, Debbie?
Well, yeah, it's a lot, I think just a couple of things, just to remind people, tell your friends about the podcast and pass it on. That would be really helpful to our charity. If you have questions that you would like us to answer about training the horses or places that we've been, you know, send us an email. All of our contact information is on the website, gentlecarouseltherapyhorses.com, and you can find all that there. If you would like to help in some way, going again to the website, if you would like to, there's a wish list from Amazon that would be really helpful. There are items on there. Dog food for the livestock guardian dogs is a big thing right now. And anything like that would make a huge difference in helping support the work that we do. We are also, I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned that on October 10th, Gentle Carousel's Black and White Gala and concert will take place in Ocala at the Circle Square Cultural Center. And you can contact us about information if you would like to come, if you would like to be a sponsor and support in that way. It's also going to be Magic's 20th birthday celebration, which is a big deal. She'll be there in her tuxedo. So if you would like to be a part of that or help support all of the work that our horses do all year long.
Yeah, we hope to have some tables set aside for first responders and some veterans. So if you're not able to make the gala, you certainly could sponsor a table for some of these fine people who serve in the community. There are many ways you can give and make a difference.
And we'll be celebrating. We're going into our 30th year.
That's right.
As a charity. So lots to celebrate on October 10th. But send us your messages. Pass the word around a little bit about the podcast so that people can listen in. And we hope you have a great week.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And we hope to hear from you very soon. Take care and be safe. Bye-bye.
Remember to follow the Little Horses on social media and join the Gentle Carousel newsletter mailing list. If you'd like to learn more about supporting the important work of Gentle Carousel miniature therapy horses, or if you have a question that you'd like answered on a future episode, all contact information is on the charity website, gentlecarouseltherapyhorses.com. Join behind the scenes at Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses each week for a new episode right here on the Equus Radio Network.